This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. BC's Minister of Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation and Vancouver West End MLA, the Honorable Spencer Shander Herbert, delivered a keynote address to approximately 1,700 attendees at the BC Natural Resources Forum in Prince George, Claylie-Tanay on January 21st, 2026. The annual forum creates a networking opportunity that focuses on news, trends, and opportunities within the resource sector of BC and across Canada. It often offers perspective on the provincial north's economic activity. The following is a clip of Minister Tyler Chandra Herbert's address at the BC Natural Resources Forum. It informs the interview which follows.
You know that strength comes when we listen to each other. There are those that will try and tell us that, oh, wave a magic wand and poof, Greenland becomes America. Or poof, that project gets rolled through despite the neighborhood's objection, despite challenges of territory and history and no treaties and confusion and argument. These are hard conversations. Our forebears, those who went before us, didn't do the hard work. Some tried, some worked very hard to say, listen, we're here, we're not going anywhere, work with us. And colonial governments of the past chose not to again and again and again. And of course, when you pretend there's nothing going on and you would just completely ignore people you're causing pain and harm to, that pain and harm gets exacerbated and it gets to become part of the system, not a bug in the system, but part of the system. And so I really want to thank all of you for working to change that system to one of respect, one of listening, one of hard work together, putting differences aside. I was talking to some industry folks who said, you know, we used to fight with the other gas companies, but we realized to make a better environment, working with the other gas companies together, we can actually do that and save money too. And I reflected on Prime Minister Carney's speech where he talked about how fortresses, we can all have our own little fortresses where we're afraid of each other. It costs a heck of a lot of money to build fortresses and to throw guns and bombs and stuff at each other. Whereas you bring down those walls and you try to understand and you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you do that hard work and maybe it takes a bit longer, but that peace that you build, that togetherness, that understanding is durable. And that's what lasts. That's where people are willing to take risks, are willing to go beyond themselves. And I just say that right now, our children, children's children in the future, is relying on all of us to be better than we know how to be, to work harder, to be smarter, to be more creative, because they need that for the future. The planet needs it for the future. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's doing that hard work, who's putting pain and problems not pretending they didn't happen, not pretending there's not things we have to fix, we're willing to actually go, okay, so how do we do that? And I've had incredible meetings so far, and I know you have too, about when we have success, the whole province benefits. When nations benefit, the province benefits. It didn't always work the other way. We have to make sure that we lift each other up, we build each other up. So maybe that's too saccharine, or maybe that's a word too sappy, I might say. But I believe it to be true. The only way to do this is honestly, is respect each other, call each other out when you're having problems, but in a respectful way. Take the time you need to build the relationship, and that's how we solve problems. And so I thank you for bringing problems to me, for bringing questions, confusions, anger, some love. There was some compliments too, it was okay. But no, it's just because the only way government gets better is when you make it get better, because we're all government in that sense, and we're all society in that sense. It's easier to do us and them, as we see from other places. But in the end, it's just us. That's all we got, is just us. So let's not pretend there's somebody out there that's gonna wave a wand and stop us being us. We are us. We are it, and let's make the best of it. So, Masi Cho, thank you to everybody. Thank you for bringing this opportunity. We're going to have a great panel of people who really know what they're doing.
Following the keynote address, CIFA Radio joined a scrum in a bustling, vibrant setting where we asked the minister to draw a picture of economic development and Indigenous relations in Northern BC after his time on the stage. Our questions were informed by the setting of the BC Natural Resources Forum and primarily sought clarity on his perspectives of resource and economic development in the province of BC in relation to his position of Minister of Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation. Here's his take on what role First Nations-led companies are playing in the development of resources on the provincial level.
I've found that First Nations-led companies are in many cases leading the way on development, jobs, new opportunities. In some cases looking very much for partners, and so partnering with industry. In other cases, just leading the way themselves. And it's just so exciting. The number of new businesses and businesses that are being purchased and revitalized by nations is truly exciting.
Minister Herbert was asked for examples of First Nations-led partnerships or businesses that were leading the way in this regard.
Yeah, I think one is obviously we've just issued a couple calls for power. First time since I was in my early 20s, I'm now in my mid-40s. And those are partnerships with First Nations equity partners, running the wind power projects, bringing us electricity that we desperately need for mining, for forestry, and other options too. So energy, for sure, no question.
That's through the avenue of BC Hydro.
Energy through BC Hydro. That's one avenue. I see it in tourism as well. Different, whether it be ranches and other opportunities, revitalization of kind of back to the land, tourism opportunities. I've been hearing about projects that aren't announced yet, but are in the planning and development stages with major mining companies and local First Nations. And in some cases, restoration work also. Yeah, been listening to working with First Nations around, how do you restore natural resource sites, mines? How do you restore gas sites, often being led by First Nations companies?
Minister Herbert was asked of just how these businesses advance reconciliation on a provincial scale.
What I hear consistently from, whether it's First Nations or really anyone, is that they want to make sure that when our natural resources are used, that they leave prosperity behind, that it's not the boom and bust that we've come to know, that you get, whether it's a mining project, that you leave a community with people who now understand how to work in mining, and then they can take that skill and move into another mine down the road, or take the skills that they've learned in drilling and turn that into geothermal and other opportunities, or the administration. People need good administrators in all fields, and if you can operate a mine as an administrator, you can get a job in most places. I think that's really what I hear, is let's use natural resources, absolutely. Let's make sure we're value adding all we can so that it's local people getting the work where that's possible, and that those local people are able to then turn those skills into other opportunities, new jobs, new options.
Minister Herbert went further into how BC can invest in advancing Indigenous businesses.
We're moving forward in a bunch of ways. I guess I'd say that skills training is obviously one of the huge things, so investing in skills training so that people have the skills to take the jobs that are coming. Equity financing so that First Nations companies can purchase and be part of a mine, part of an energy project, maybe not the whole thing, but part of it, and that then brings that knowledge into community as well. So we're in the final stages of developing our equity financing program for First Nations. We also know the federal government is moving into this field as well, which is great for rural BC because a lot of those nations are in rural BC and they're looking to grow businesses in their home communities, not having to rely on expensive companies that fly in and fly out. Build that local resilience. That's what we want.
Minister Herbert had this to say when asked if there were any particular businesses that came to mind as examples in paving the way to conduct this sort of business.
I was just talking with folks working in the fisheries, and I'm going to have to scrape my memory to find the name of the company. But what they've done is they've looked at the commercial fisheries, and they're now packaging that salmon, packaging the fishery, where you can actually scan the barcode and it tells you what nation was involved in catching the fish and processing the fish, what community was involved, because people want to know that we're not destroying a fishery when we're eating fish. They want to know it's resilient. So that was one example. I think Stalaten Nation involved in that fishery, but others are obviously stepping up too, because good sustainable fishery. BC was known for that and should be known for that again.
as it pertains to post-secondary education, skill building, and so on, provincially and actually across the country, we're seeing a lot of institutions approaching insolvency. There's been a lot of ups and downs in regards to student immigration, stuff like that. But there's also been announcements in regards to, you know, here's some more funding coming your way. Do you think provincial institutions here in BC, which are cutting back, is that in step with some of the announcements we've been hearing about increasing funding?
Yeah, I guess I would, you know, probably punt that to the Minister for Advanced Education, as I, you know, but I would say that clearly we need skilled workers. That doesn't change regardless of who's in government. And really clearly points to me anyways of the need to continue investing in these areas, because the paychecks are good once you are able to get through the training, and we need skilled workers in every corner. So our commitment as a government to skilled trades and training is resolute, because we're not going to get the prosperity if we don't have the workers who can do the jobs that are in demand. And boy, there's a heck of a lot of minds and other opportunities coming to BC right now that we haven't had in a long time. So it's an optimistic time for me, for sure. Good problem to have, you know, in terms of the need for workers, and where can I make sure we have them?
And what mechanisms or organizations are existing in the government between First Nations and industrial projects, things like that, to actually help facilitate, get the ball rolling? You mentioned BC Hydro was one of the partners in there.
Yeah, BC Hydro is a big partner, no question. I think looking through Ministry of Finance, equity financing program that we're developing is going to be a big help as well.
A note for clarity. The BC government's First Nations Equity Financing Program, to quote the BC government's summary page, provides loan guarantees that support First Nations to secure equity ownership in revenue-generating projects, creating long-term economic benefits for First Nations and supporting economic growth in British Columbia. End quote.
Equity financing program that we're developing is going to be a big help as well. I think within First Nations, they have the Major Projects Coalition. They have a number of other groups, Forestry Council, Mining Council, to try to help grow the expertise in the fields within First Nations communities to answer those questions. But also say, like, look at the number of mining companies that are partnering directly with First Nations to ensure that they have the skills of, and partnering with their businesses to deliver huge chunks of what they need, you know, whether it's on the ground itself, driving the trucks, bringing in their mine reclamation crews, the drilling crews, you know, you see it in every aspect now. You know, many of the companies I've been talking with, you know, they're operating with 25 to 30% of their staff are local First Nations, which is a marked change from 10 years ago when the numbers were way lower. To me, it shows that it's working, you know, doing work with community, it pays off. So I'm optimistic, if I haven't given that impression enough,
But you referenced Carney's speech earlier about, the world of fortresses and so on. And I'm thinking, looking actually within our own nation, how Carney's address was kind of like an invitation, anyway, my interpretation was, okay, middle powers of the world, so on. We don't necessarily need to go to the big ones. We need to create our own network, facilitate things, make things happen. And there's a bit of irony in there. When, you know, I think about the various First Nations across the country, Indigenous communities, and for so long it's been dictated from, like, the higher power. It's oh, no, you got to go through us. You got to go to the federal government if you want to get anything done.
We won't talk to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we've been seeing a lot of communities creating networks, creating trade agreements among themselves, sharing equipment, sharing resources, and so on.
Yeah, I think as walls go up around the world, we are realizing we got to bring down the walls internally. And stuff we should have done a long time ago, but we were lazy or something. I don't know. We were too busy focused on the outside world. We forgot about our own community, and that we can be stronger when we work together. So it's a wake-up call, but we'll take it and use it.
Do you feel these things that you mentioned lining up, is that in line with this, the newer vision?
I think that it, you know, the BC government is more focused today probably than it has been in a long, long, long time at the need for prosperity and economic growth, but also the opportunity is there because everyone else is looking at what we have and going, let's go together, let's do this. And nations are saying, finally, you're listening to us, government. We've been saying we need to get jobs for our members and prosper for a long time. You're finally listening to us. So, it is a bit of a confluence. And that guy down south, I wish it didn't happen, but in other ways, it's good we got the wake-up call, because we can do way more now, regardless of who's down south. and we should.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
No problem.
That concludes CIFA Radio's conversation with the Honorable Spencer Chandra Herbert, BC's Minister of Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation. Minister Spencer Chandra Herbert was in attendance at the BC Natural Resources Forum held at the Civic Center in Prince George Clearly today, January 21st, 2026. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.